So, following up from last week, did you eat with three people, one of whom is not a part of Legacy? I hope that you did. If you did, take that spot on the back of your card. Tell us what you did. Tell us how you ate with them, if anything happened, what place you went to, where I was looking for good recommendations of restaurants to eat at. But tell us what happened, how God inspired your meal to break down barriers, to build community, to bring healing and restoration. Last week, you shared with us some of the ways that you blessed other people, and they were impressive. Here's just a couple of ways that you blessed others. You mailed cards. You shared friendly and encouraging words with each other. One of you had tea with a neighbor who was lonely. Complimented a friend. Mowed someone else's lawn. Cleaned out a downspout. Prayed with a young mother who has cervical cancer. Prayed with a random lady in the parking lot who needed a phone. Cool. That is great. Keep up the work of building these five habits of missional people into your lives. That's the series that we're in. We're exploring these five simple things, five simple tasks we can do every day to help point other people to Jesus. Every Christian, every single one of us that has said yes to Jesus is a missionary. We are charged to bring God's light to all of the dark places on earth. Each week, we're charged to bless three people, one of whom is not a part of Legacy. We're charged to eat with three people, one of whom is not a part of Legacy. Today, our third habit of missional people is to listen. It's to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking into our lives. A young man came to his priest. "I feel like something is terribly wrong in my spirit. Please help me." The priest replied, "Can you describe the feeling?" "It happens every night. I lie down and begin thinking over my day when a terrible feeling comes over me, a burning in my heart, like the burning the disciples felt when meeting Jesus on the road to Emmaus. But when I feel it, I feel like something is wrong. It's more like a pain. It's as if God is trying to tell me something. Please help me. What does this mean?" The priest bent forward in his chair. He was reaching into his satchel. The young man, thinking the priest was climbing out of his chair to kneel on the ground and pray, slid out of his chair onto the ground, bowing his head and extending his hands, palms up, to receive the priest's blessing. But instead of a prayer, the priest laid a single antacid into the young man's open hands. "You've got heartburn, son." Now, missional people understand that we are both physical and spiritual beings. Sometimes we have heartburn. Sometimes the Spirit is speaking to us and trying to tell us something. Missional people understand that God is speaking to all of us. God wants to get our attention. You should not be surprised that God wants to speak with you. God wants to speak to each and every one of us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to say that he very much indeed loves us. For years, Hannah wanted a son. Year after year, Hannah would go to the temple to pray for a child, and nothing happened. Every year she was at the temple, one of the priests made fun of her because she was unable to have children. Every year this would happen, and every year Hannah would cry. One year, Hannah vowed to the Lord that if God blessed her with a son, she would dedicate him to service for the Lord in the temple. Sure enough, she eventually did give birth to a son. And once her son is weaned, Samuel is raised with the priests in the Lord's temple. As we seek to become a people that listen to God's voice, to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, we first need to understand that God is at work around us, God is at work in our lives, even before we have any understanding of who God is. God was at work in Samuel's life before Samuel had any idea of who God is. That's one of the reasons that we as United Methodists perform infant baptisms. We acknowledge God moving in the infant's life before the child has any clue about who God is. We call this idea prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the idea that God is moving in our lives before we know it. It's before we say yes to Jesus. Before we even know God exists, God is moving in and around us. A month ago, Irene reaffirmed her baptism at our Wednesday night service right here. In her story about why she wanted to reaffirm her baptism, she started it by saying, "I am so thankful that my parents baptized me as an infant." She affirmed her parents' choice so many years before, and she renewed those vows with her godfather present, the same godfather that was present at her infant baptism. That is really amazing. She acknowledged God's prevenient grace in her life, and she accepted justifying grace, the grace of being made right in God's eyes. The grace of being made right in God's eyes by saying, yes, I will follow Jesus for myself. It's not just about what my family does, or it's not a family thing. It's now for me. I'm going to follow Jesus for myself. I hope and pray that my children have the same response like Irene did when they are older, that they are thankful that they were baptized to acknowledge God's action in their lives and affirm those vows for themselves when they are older. When Samuel's a bit older, God speaks to him and gives us some guidance in how we learn to listen to the Spirit in our own lives today. You can follow along if you like. We're going to be in 1 Samuel 3 this morning. As always, the text is on the screen for you. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he'd never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, the days before Jesus and the days before the Holy Spirit is unleashed onto all of the Christians, messages from the Lord were quite rare, and visions were uncommon. Before Jesus comes and the Holy Spirit is let go, every person who follows Jesus, the Spirit in Samuel's time only fell on particular people in a particular place for a particular purpose. Today, all of us who've said yes to Jesus have access to the Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit as described in other passages. Paul, the great church planter, reminds us in Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Okay, that's good advice, but where, Paul, are you going with this? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only works in our lives in relationship to how much we have surrendered to Jesus. One writer compares the filling of the Spirit to a furnace. Every furnace has a pilot light that stays on all of the time, but it's quite low. Likewise, all Christians, we have the Holy Spirit and access to the Spirit, but it is the pilot light. It can be quite low. However, when a furnace is fully activated, like they will be in just a few months in all of our houses, when they are fully activated, they go poosh, and they heat the entire building. The Holy Spirit, like a furnace, that's what it looks like in our lives. The Holy Spirit filling our lives completely looks like a furnace fully functioning, affecting the entire building, or in our case, affecting our entire lives. How are we filled with the Spirit? We need to ask for it. You already have the pilot light if you've chosen to say, yes, I follow Jesus. Now it's the process of surrendering our will to God, removing any sin, anything that might be blocking our connection to God. Perhaps your challenge, your takeaway today is to ask God to fill you with the Spirit so you can more clearly hear God speaking to you. As we learn to listen to the Spirit, we first must be filled with the Spirit. Second, we need to train ourselves to listen. And this may be one of the toughest parts. This is a tough one in the world we live, to take time in silence, to take time with no earbuds in, no favorite news channel playing, no television show, no background music, nothing. And just listen in silence to what the Spirit might be telling you. We can be incredibly petrified of silence because we might just be confronted in the silence with something we know that needs to be changed in us, that God wants to help change in us. Start small. Start with just a few minutes of silence this week And don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged if you don't immediately hear God speak something to your spirit. Even just setting aside a few minutes in silence, that's going to draw you closer to God. In any relationship, we need to make time and to listen to each other, and it is the same with our connection with God. We must make it a priority to spend time with God. God's messages to us won't always be, turn your lives upside down and go move across the planet and live with some people you've never heard of before. Sometimes the Spirit just tells you, I love you. I made you for a purpose. I forgive you. It may just be an assurance, an acceptance that you've never felt or heard of before. Years ago, I was walking home after an incredibly successful event where we had hosted about 1,000 middle and high school students. And I was walking home. It was a dark night. I'm walking home, and I'm already starting to think and process how to make the event better. I'm like, okay, how can we move forward? How do we host even more people? How do we make it 100 times better? As I walked home in that cool autumn night, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And for me, it doesn't work in audible words. It's an impression, a thought in my head. I hear this. Celebrate the moment. Your worth is not dependent upon how many people were there. I have such high achiever tendencies. I can find my identity and my worth and success in numbers and goals and plans that I set out. And I can forget that I, like every human being, is made in the image of God. And I am loved by God simply for that fact. It was a great reminder for me to take a moment to celebrate and to remember that my worth is not found in any kind of success or numbers or events. God attempts to get Samuel's attention, but Samuel doesn't quite understand what's happening. It's bedtime, and he runs into Eli's room, who's trying to sleep, thinking Eli has asked for him. Anybody with children knows how this goes. Anyone have your children come into your room after you put them to bed? No, you don't need more water. No, I've already read you 3 stories. There are no monsters under your bed. It's not surprising that Eli sends him back to bed as a child who simply needs to go to sleep. However, this repeats 3 times, God calling Samuel, and Samuel is convinced God is calling Samuel. On the 3rd time, this blind, sleepy Eli realizes this is the Lord talking to Samuel and tells him this. Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone is calling again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So to listen to the Spirit, we first must be filled with the Spirit. 2nd, we must train ourselves to hear the Spirit. 3rd, we have to check the voice. Does what the Spirit is telling us line up with what is in Scripture? God telling you, I love you. God telling you, I made you for a purpose. God telling you, you are forgiven. That is all biblical and true and accurate. Being someone who spends time regularly and daily in the Word, in the Scripture, is very helpful for us to hear how the Spirit might be speaking to us. Also, Samuel had Eli to train him on how to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Who is your spiritual mentor? Who do you bounce ideas off of to see if this is a crazy idea that you have, or if indeed the Spirit is telling you something, to move, to act? When we were discussing and praying to launch a new church in our last town, I was checking regularly with Kermit, our last lead pastor here, to see if I was crazy or not. There was a leadership team and a small group and other people that I respected that I kept bouncing ideas off of and to serve as a check for me to know if I'm hearing from the Spirit or if it's Brandon running off with some crazy idea. Find spiritual mentors. Find people that can help you discern whether or not God is speaking to your life or if something else is happening. Be filled with the Spirit. Train yourself. Check the voice. And last, get moving. If the Spirit is telling you to do something, do it. The book of Acts is the story of the Holy Spirit unleashed among the early followers of Jesus, the same Spirit waiting to be unleashed in our lives and in our world today. In Acts 8, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. The Spirit can call us to do some very specific things. Hey, Philip, go over there, walk by that carriage, talk to that guy. Philip does that, and he's able to open up someone's eyes to who Jesus really is. One chapter later, the Spirit tells Ananias to do something very specific and a little crazy. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I've shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." This is incredibly specific. It's like God telling you to, hey, go over to 3rd Street. I want you to go to Bob's house. And Saul, the murderer, is in there. You know, the murderer who's killing all of you Christians. Yeah, go pray for him. You don't get much more specific than that. You don't get much more life-threatening than that. Once you've checked what the Spirit is telling you to do, once you've checked what the Spirit is telling you to do with Scripture and with wise counsel, it's time to take action. Samuel does listen to what the Lord wants him to do. He takes action. It's not good news for Eli. Eli and Eli's family had been corrupt for a long time, and the Lord is going to remove them from their place of authority in the temple. Samuel would soon become the prophet, the priest of Israel. Even though 1 Samuel begins with the story of one family, just one family with Hannah and Samuel, it's the beginning of a new era in Israel, an era that leads to some periods of new committed faithfulness that unfortunately and ultimately don't last. Be filled with the Spirit. Train yourself to have silence. Check the voice and then get moving. This week, your challenge, your homework, is to spend one period this week listening for the Spirit, just a couple of minutes. Start with a few minutes, see what God speaks to your soul, what God might be challenging you to do, but you've just been too busy or too focused on other things to listen. Spend one period this week listening for the voice of the Spirit. It was January 2015, and it was a really nice, beautiful, snowy day. It must have been almost in the 30s. These huge snowflakes were falling. I received a phone call from Kermit, who was asking me if he could put my name forward to be appointed, assigned here at Legacy. I told him it'd be incredible to work together, he was crazy. I highly doubted the cabinet, those that assigned people, would agree to this. I just went full-time in our 3-year-old church plant. I just moved houses 6 months before. None of this was sounding very exciting to me, except for the fact that I could work with Kermit and the staff here at Legacy. So I said, sure, throw the Hail Mary. Let's see what happens. Go for it. I hung up the phone. As soon as I pushed end on my iPhone, the Spirit told me, you're moving. And my dialogue immediately started. I said, not a chance. The timing isn't going to work with where the church is at. The response, you're moving. I couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake it for the rest of the day. I went home. I told my wife. My wife said I was crazy. I continued to work for days, weeks, the few months ahead, as if I wasn't going anywhere. But I knew beyond the ability of a human to know that I was going to be moving. I think it was the Spirit preparing me to leave a place that had given so much of my time, my energy, and myself. And as you now are well aware, it indeed did come to pass, and I came to understand that even better, that even though a Hail Mary doesn't have a great chance of success, sometimes the thing actually does succeed. We don't always know what the Holy Spirit is up to. So friends, this week, spend a period listening for the Spirit. May we be filled with the Spirit so we can listen to the Spirit to get moving, to be the people of hope and life, of light and of love that this world so desperately needs. Let's pray together. Lord God, fill us with your Holy Spirit today so we can carry your light to the darkness and your hope to the hopeless. Help us tune our ears to your Spirit. Help us tune our spirits to yours so we can stay when you tell us to stay, so we can move when you tell us to move. May we carve out just a few minutes each week so we can hear you tell us that you love us and you have a purpose for each one of us. It is in Jesus' name that we pray together.